what are your favorite stories that you've covered?
Oh, that's such a good question.
That is good.
Thank you. LEX18 presents a podcast with hot takes, hot topics, with your hosts, Megan Mannering and Evelyn Schultz. This is Hot Mic.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Hot Mic. I'm Evelyn Schultz alongside the one and only Megan Mannering.
And it's just us today.
It's a girl's day.
And Hannah. We can't forget. Hannah is mic'd up over there. Hi, Hannah.
Yeah.
It's a girl's day here at Hot Mic. No guest. And we're just going to catch up and yap.
We've needed, I think, a little girl time. We've had some amazing guests over the past few weeks.
Let's recap.
We had Keith Farmer last week.
Superstar.
He's busy now. He's in Nashville currently.
And we should mention, because I think this is funny, during Keith's episode, the Barnhart news dropped that he was retiring.
And we were all oblivious.
Completely. Which is like the worst thing that can happen if you are in the sports department and the AD at the big school retires. Yeah. When we opened the door, when the podcast was done, we had people waiting at the door telling us, wrap it up. Yep. Wrap it up, everybody. We need Keith air in like 10 minutes.
That just shows you he's a big deal.
Very big deal.
We were lucky to get him.
Him, Bill Mack.
Also a big deal.
Also a big
here
deal.
Here at LAX18.
That was a fun one.
I learned a lot about Bill that I did not know.
I think I assumed a lot of those things, but it was fun to hear him tell the stories of how he got into weather.
Yes, he passionate since 6 years old.
Yeah.
And he had the books from his childhood and
had the books.
Did the felt weather forecast at school. So yeah, it all adds up when you know Bill Mack now. You're like, this makes sense.
And then Tom Hammond.
Yeah, he was great.
An angel. I love Tom Hammond.
I know.
I could talk about him all day. He was such a good guest. And we also had the Meat Shower Festival director, Ian Corbin.
It's been educational.
We've learned a lot.
Maybe more than we wanted to know about some of the meat falling from the sky.
Yeah.
But that was so interesting.
Wait, Hannah, you went to the Meat Shower Festival, yeah?
I did, yeah.
And you loved it?
It was actually really fun. They had like a Cessna plane fly over us and drop beef jerky on us.
And he had said that. Ian had said.
But he wouldn't give away the secret of how they were going to make it shower meat.
But they did. They made it rain. They made it rain
so
meat.
Funny.
Yum.
So yeah, we've had some good episodes.
But today it's just us.
I feel like we've been ships passing in the night, Evie.
Yeah. And I, you know, Megan and I, we've said this before on Hot Mic, our desks are next to each other.
Yeah.
And you kind of get in towards the end of my shift typically, but I find myself sitting there waiting all morning. Like, when is Megan going to arrive?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It makes me feel so good.
It's not the
Except
same.
For yesterday, I came in and there I was met with some criticism.
Well, a few of us were hungry.
Yeah.
And we were thinking, we want donuts. And we thought, maybe someone will show up with donuts. And we just thought maybe it would be you, and you didn't. So.
I hardly had time to breathe, and I stepped in the building, and people
and that's
are bombarding,
to put on you.
Bombarding me with, where are our donuts? And I'm like, well, did I promise that I would bring donuts?
We just thought you could read our minds.
I can't.
That we were craving some donuts.
Classic communication problem.
I know.
It happens in every relationship.
Maybe we can do donuts on Friday or something.
That'd be good. My brothers and their families do Donut Friday religiously.
That's so fun.
And my dad will take donuts down to my oldest brother because they live down the street.
Okay.
So it's every Friday morning. Those kids wake up and there are donuts waiting for them on the porch.
That's such an amazing childhood memory. Yeah. They'll do that with their kids probably one day. How fun.
And then my sister-in-law will usually send a video of my niece specifically eating them. And it's the most disgusting thing you've ever seen because she likes the ones with the sprinkles.
Uh-huh.
And then she just licks all the icing and sprinkles off.
And then just like a plain donut underneath.
Yeah.
Kind of soggy.
It's kind of gross.
Yummy though. That takes me back. I love a good Krispy Kreme.
What do you have a favorite donut in town?
So in town, I love Spalding's.
Mm.
I think Spalding's hits different.
Yeah.
Every time I go, I think it's so good. I also just like a basic Krispy Kreme, you know.
Krispy Kreme never misses.
No, and I like North Lime. They're really close to the station here, so they're easy to
good vibes.
What's your favorite?
parlor. It's near my house, mm-hmm. and they're like almost like croissant.
You can't even call it a donut because they're so
good.
They're so good, and they're like pretty donuts.
Pretty, and they have all sorts of different flavors. Mm-hmm. Like the blueberry one is my favorite. They have a French toast one, strawberry. I mean, oh,
yum.
Getting pretty hungry right now. We should have had donuts.
I know.
Yeah.
Yummy. Well, what's new with you?
Well, I got coffee this morning.
Nice.
And at my favorite coffee place, Lucy Brown.
Love. Shout out Lucy Brown. Downtown.
Love to plug it. It's downtown. It's my go-to. I try to only go once a week, you know, because
you're so strong.
You can't get into that habit. But it's such a good vibe. And the owner told me that I'm her favorite anchor.
I know. I love that.
She said it kind of quietly. And so I didn't hear it right away. And then when it like registered what she said, I said, really?
That is so sweet.
I was like, you guys are my favorite coffee place. It was really
feeling is mutual.
It was such a good way to start mm-hmm. the day.
Well, and you know what? I told you this last week. This is funny. I went to Martine's last week for coffee. Love mm-hmm. Martine's as well. And, I was wearing an LAX 18 jacket and, this is just funny. This is being in TV. I'm not offended. It's just funny. A very nice man at Martine said, I love the woman there at night, the woman who anchors the news at night. I said, oh, yeah, Megan's great. I'll tell her. She's awesome. And then he said, oh, what do you do there? I said, well, I do anchor the morning news. And he seemed like an early riser because he was there pretty early. But
that's tough.
That's okay.
You know what?
So, but my point is that they're loving you.
Well, but I've gotten that for you before. I get a lot of people who say, I watch you every morning.
And I'm like, I watch you every evening.
No, you don't.
We are not the same person.
But sometimes it feels like we are.
We're just two brunette Hoosiers.
Cut from the same cloth.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really don't have that much exciting news in my life other than my coffee visit this morning.
But you just got
back from a trip.
Yeah, we were in Hilton Head, which was fun. It was me and my husband, and my parents have a timeshare there in March. So we try to go. My parents go every year, but we try to go most years, just for a few days at the very least. And it was mm-hmm. fun. We had my sisters, not all of them, two of my sister's boyfriend, Trevor, came. That was fun. My dad actually left as Charlie and I were getting there, so we didn't get to spend too much time with him. But yeah, it was really fun. The only issue was that we got embroiled so we flew there and we were all planning on flying back, but there was some bad weather at the Atlanta airport mm-hmm. Last Friday. It'll be a little over a week when this episode airs. Hail damage, I guess, to airplanes. And so all of our flights were canceled. And I guess all day long Saturday at O'Hare, it was chaos at the airport, just chaos. And our connection was through O'Hare. So, we drove back. And luckily, my mom had a rented minivan that we all piled into and drove back. The drive from Hilton Head to Lexington is not that bad. I felt bad for the rest of the crew mm-hmm. who had to keep going up to Indiana. But
when you're expecting to fly and you're not mentally prepared for a long drive, it's different.
It is different. And it was a rental car, so only a few people were on the rental car. So Not everyone could drive. Couldn't really split the load there.
Yeah. But it is a first world prob.
It absolutely is.
But, you know, you spend a lot of money and you are anticipating your vacation days and you get so excited. And then when things go awry, it's like, okay, what the heck?
Yeah.
How do you feel about flying in today's age?
Okay. We had this conversation.
Oh, really?
I'm glad you brought this up.
Okay.
I am a loyal Delta Sky Miles member. It's actually really embarrassing because I'm Silver Medallion and sometimes they thank you loudly. And Silver Medallion, I think I might have said this on the podcast before. Silver Medallion is the lowest status. It's like you barely made it. And they'll say, thank you for being a Silver Medallion member when you get on your flight.
And do you stand up and like wave to the other people on the plane?
They're putting you on the spot. But the thing is, it's like, if I was like the highest level, it would be different, but I'm like barely squeaking by Silver Medallion status. So Delta is my, try to fly Delta just because I have racked up my points with them. To their credit, they gave me back my points that I used for my flights on Saturday. So that was nice of them. But flying in general, no matter the airline nowadays, mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. think, and maybe it was always like this, but I was just a child or young and didn't travel as much. Nothing is smooth now.
No.
I cannot bank Nothing on a flight being sacred. On time. No. Like, I'm always anticipating I'm going to be delayed now.
Mm-hmm. You have to.
You literally have to. Or something's going to be wrong.
Yeah.
It's just... And I don't, maybe it was always like that. Do you remember it being like that?
No.
When we were younger?
But I'm flying more now than I,
as an adult,
than I used to. My family never flew on vacations. Mm-hmm. We always drove. So I don't know. Maybe it's always been like that.
And it is such a first world problem.
It really is. To be like, we're very lucky to have the means and the time off from work to do these things.
Yes. But yeah, it's just now it's just gotten stressful. I think I can't imagine being someone who travels for work a lot, because some people travel every week and, I just think it would be stressful, but that is how you probably pass the silver medallion status. That's how you get up there, is if you,
you got to just keep chugging along, put in that time and that money.
Yeah. Have you ever flown one of the budget airlines?
Yes. Well, when I was studying abroad in Spain, are you familiar with Ryanair?
Yes. I'm actually flying Ryanair in April.
No way.
Mm-hmm. You'll have to tell me your experience. Gosh.
Well, okay. you have to remember at this point, I was 20 or 21. Yeah. I had no money. I was constantly calling my parents like, could you loan me $50 so that I could, whatever. And Ryanair was so cheap. I mean, you can, once you're in Europe, like you can travel within pretty easily. But there was always the question of, is this plane going to go down? I mean, are we good up here?
Is that the vibe?
Well, it was then. I mean, you got what you were paying for.
Totally.
And the flights were always full of American college students.
Yeah.
And my favorite Ryanair experience, when I was in Spain, I traveled to Dublin for St. Patrick's Day.
And that's coming up on an anniversary, probably, of this experience.
Yes.
It's almost St. Patrick's Day.
It was the time of my life. It was like 36 hours in Dublin. But my best friend from college was studying abroad there. So I met up with her. Another one of our college friends was studying abroad in Copenhagen. So she joined in. It was like a DePaul reunion in Dublin for St. Patrick's Day. Can you even imagine?
I would say the time of your life.
Right. So I take a Ryanair flight there on like a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, every passenger was an American college student. Like, it was clear.
A party plane.
It literally was a party plane. There were people in, you know, those like horse head funny, like their plastic masks. Just like those goofy things people would wear to like, whatever, in student sections and stuff. I remember there were people on the plane wearing those. There were people that were inebriated, let's be honest. But when the plane finally landed, everybody stands up to get their bags out of the overhead bin. No one had suitcases because it was clear everyone was just there
for the weekend.
People were pulling out handles of liquor that they had brought, you know, onto the plane. It was like, this is going to be a time.
Wow.
Buckle up, Dublin.
Do they not have the same TSA rules as we do?
I guess not. I mean, it was laughable.
Wow. And then did you have fun in Dublin? Good times?
It was such a good time. It was so much fun. My boyfriend and I have a goal of visiting like every state or every country on their big like holiday or event. So like we'd love to go to Germany for Oktoberfest. Yes. We'd love to go back to Dublin for St. Patrick's Day, etc. So that's my Ryanair.
That's a good story. Goal though too.
I think it's kind of
as well. Yeah. I flew Southwest recently. Mm-hmm. That was my first time.
Did they still do the thing where everybody gets in a line and you don't get
They're done with that. They switched out to assigned seats now. I think that's a recent change. So I never experienced it when it was choose your own, I guess. But that sounded, I actually didn't know what they meant by that. Like initially when I imagined Southwest Airlines, I imagined everyone like, you know, in a bus where you're all like holding. That's what I envisioned it had been. But no, there were seats. They always had seats
just
for people.
Up
it
in
was
the
just
air, kind of
jostling around.
Goosey.
Yeah. Yeah. So I never experienced the lining up with Southwest. But yeah, traveling, you know, we are so lucky to travel.
We are. We really are.
Like,
I do not take it for granted.
It's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
I love it.
Did you travel a lot as a family when you were a kid?
You know, when we lived in England, I wouldn't say we traveled around Europe a ton, but I got used to flying early because we would fly back and forth from the States mm-hmm. when we would go back home.
And explain to our listeners why you lived in England.
My dad had a job in England. So when I was from about 6 to 9 is when we lived overseas in London. So, it was an amazing experience. Loved it.
You were old enough to, you remember knew what was going on.
Yeah. I remember school, my friends. I still have a few friends that, we see each other on Instagram and stuff. So, I would move to England in a heartbeat, but, really? Yeah, I love it there. I love British accents.
Sure.
I love the history. Mm-hmm. Like everything is so old there compared to the States. Cause we're a relatively newer country compared to a lot of countries. So, I love England, but yeah, so we would go back and forth. And I was actually telling my mom recently, when I was probably 7, we were flying from England back to Indiana, and I got seated on the airplane separate from my whole family. And I was the middle seat. You know, when the airplanes have the three rows, so there's the middle row. I was the middle of surrounded by adults in this row.
Oh,
but I don't remember being scared at all. I just read my Harry Potter book the whole time.
Wait.
Yeah.
You're like, in The Devil Wears Prada. You're like the kid of,
yes,
Amanda Presley.
Exactly like that. That's how it felt.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I can picture it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually more anxious now as I've gotten older about flying, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I think you just read more news and stuff and you.
It's tough. I feel like just in general, being a news anchor, you hear every crazy worst case scenario story.
And the likelihood of those things happening to the average person is
so low.
Not high at all, but we just hear it all. So your anxiety can ramp up.
Yeah.
Did you all fly a lot?
No, we never did. My parents had a purple minivan with the egg that went on top.
You can put
luggage.
Who needs a plane?
And we were known as the family that something always happened on vacation.
In a bad way.
Like we would come back and go to church on that Sunday and everybody would be like, all right, Mannerings, what happened? The worst one, the most notable one, we were driving to Oklahoma for a relative's wedding. My brothers were in the wedding, so they had little tuxedos. Aww. I was pretty little. And I remember we stopped in the middle of the night. And we were also the family that drove through the night. We never stayed, balling on a budget, And so we stopped to get gas in the middle of the night. And my aunt was riding with us for some reason. And she had unlatched the egg up top to get something out. Mm-hmm. Didn't latch it back up.
Oh, no.
And so we're driving down the interstate. And I remember I'm probably 5 years old, 5 or 6, looking out the window and seeing things fly by the window. And I'm like, wait a minute. And
what's happening?
It's in the middle of the night. And we had to pull over. She forgot to latch the egg. My brother's tuxedos were flying down the interstate. They have trucker tracks all over them. And then my dad is running around the interstate trying to grab our wedding clothes and our things.
Did he get them back?
Yeah, but I don't think they were, I don't know that they were wearable.
they were shredded.
Come on, Aunt Lisa.
poor Aunt Lisa.
Tough.
She was probably tired.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll give that to her. Yeah.
So stuff like that just always happens.
It's good stories.
Good memes.
Something to talk about.
In hindsight, yeah.
Something to share on Hot Mic. Who knew?
I know. we are transitioning to spring.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I feel really good about it. I'm ready. I think most people are kind of ready for some warmer weather.
Yeah.
Are you?
Totally. And on Friday, which when this comes out, it will have been over a week, maybe a week or two. Friday, it was 80 and sunny in Lexington.
That's so nice.
It was people were coming out of hibernation. Everybody was outside.
Sad anymore.
I know. It was just an instant mood booster. Hannah, did you get outside on that really perfect day?
I think I hung out with my dog a bit outside.
It was a day for the dogs.
Definitely.
You realize why people move to Florida. You know what I mean? California, states where it's sunnier more often than not.
Because we're all depressed here for 3 months out of the year.
I know. The spring, though, I will say, it goes by really fast. Just like the holiday. I mean, the older we get, everything's flying by. But, you know, we have Derby coming up.
Oh, yeah.
It's still a little, it's two-ish months, maybe a little less than 2 months. So we're getting ready for that.
Yeah.
And once Derby happens, it's summer, basically.
I know. Let's talk Derby.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited. The best part of Derby is the fashion, in my opinion. Yes.
You've already started looking.
I've been scouring the internet. I even drove up to Indianapolis over the weekend to do some shopping with my mom. Mm-hmm. We did not find anything.
Okay.
But I think it's one of the best parts about working at LEX 18.
It's so fun.
Have you been looking?
I online. Actually, today I was thinking maybe I will go to the shop.
Ooh.
Some things. I don't know, just lay eyes on stuff.
You kind of have to scope it out before you really
do
commit.
The shopping appointment. Yeah, because we do shopping appointments with LEX 18 typically. Yeah. So
for those who don't know, LEX 18 does a whole big operation at the Derby. Mm-hmm. And the coolest part, we get a clothing stipend.
Yes.
Whether you're working Thurby, Oaks, or Derby, the station gives you a little money so you can go out and really splurge on a dress and a hat.
Maybe more than you normally would.
Totally. Totally. Because those dresses are not cheap.
No. And the, you know, fascinators and hats.
Right.
You can get ones more on a budget, but some of them are very expensive. Do you do dress first or hat fascinator first?
Historically speaking, I've done dress first, but I work with this. I work with. It makes me sound so.
You are a celebrity.
No, there is a guy on Facebook that I reach out to. His name is Scooter Maynard, and he makes fascinators. And he's done mine the last few years, and he's incredible because I'll just send him a picture of the dress, and then he's so creative. He'll come up with something really awesome that matches. What about you?
I've done dress in the past, too. I think that's the easier way to go because for me, it, like, a fascinator is going to fit my head no matter what. Whereas an outfit, you know, sometimes it's not really working for me. So I've done outfit first, make sure I love my fit, and then fascinator afterwards.
Yeah, it's so fun. And you have, like, different parameters, I think, when you're anchoring at Derby because you only see, you know, from, like, the butt. It's like a bust shot.
That reminds me, I need to show you the dress that I like. You have to let me know if you like it, too. I'll show you after Hot Mic.
I love that.
I just saw it online, so we'll see. But, yeah, it is interesting.
It has to have some visual appeal up top. Like, if it has a beautiful skirt, that doesn't really matter because it won't be seen.
You could take a cute picture in it.
You could take a cute pic, but, like, you got to have something happening up here.
Yes. What's been your favorite? Maybe we can, like, edit photos in. What's been your favorite Derby outfit that you've had?
I really liked last year because it matched the set.
With the roses, the red.
I had a vision. I was like, I want to wear a really pretty, like, deep red dress that will match the roses that we always have on this set. And then Scooter made the fascinator that was, like, a really big rose.
Love.
And I felt pretty good about that. The only bad thing was the weather sucked last year.
By the time I got off the set, I was... It's interesting because your back is facing
exposed.
The track. And it is exposed to the elements. And... the whole the back of my head was no one's business, but I literally, like, I was soaked all the way down.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I mean, again, first world problem, but it is hard because you're, like, really wet and cold and you still have to be on TV
and look
acting as if
really
you're not.
Pleasant. Look really pleasant. And it was hard because it was windy and really just, like, that cold rain.
It was pelting.
And it didn't stop until we were off air.
Probably from the morning through when you all ended in the afternoon.
Yeah, it was just going back and forth between raining and misting, and you can never get dry. My hair was just, like, stringy by the end. My spray tan was running down my back.
Your back, though, no one could see. It was fine.
As you said, my back was no one's business.
No, and I have learned, you can probably tell, I have, like, very naturally frizzy hair, like... It senses a single droplet.
It knows when it's coming.
And it, like, goes boof. So there's no product that can help. I've tried all the hairsprays, everything. So, like, a wet Derby, I'm not, it's all going to be pulled back like this. Like, it's just not even worth
it. You look nice with that, like, that's very in right now. The slick back.
Oh, yeah.
Look, you can pull it off.
Thank you. That is helpful with humidity.
Sure. What has been your favorite Derby look?
Okay. Can it be an Oaks day look?
Yeah.
I really liked my dress from Oaks last year. It was actually, I didn't wear the jacket.
The yellow?
The yellow.
So
but it was
cute.
I had gone shopping for pink because typically Oaks is pink. And I wasn't really finding anything in pink, like an outfit that I loved, but there was this yellow dress, like a tweed spring dress with a matching jacket.
Very classy.
Very classy, like Chanel kind of. Not a Chanel price tag, but I thought...
Our stipend isn't that big.
It's not that big. But it was, I thought, what if I did yellow and then pink accessories with the fascinator? So I really liked that outfit. And I had a spray tan and...
It was giving.
I think it was giving. The yellow with the tan, because normally I'm not that tan. But yeah, it is fun to switch it up every year, try something new.
Totally. What are you, is there a color or a style that you are leaning this year?
That's a good question, because Michael Burke, just this morning, he said to me, I got to know what you're wearing because I need to know how to coordinate with you.
Okay, he has time.
He does have time.
And Derby is for the girls.
It is for the girls.
Let me be clear.
And the men do not have to shop nearly as much. They might get a new tie or bow tie.
Yeah.
What's that thing that goes in your pocket? Hannah, do you know what that's called?
Handkerchief.
Yes. Handkerchief. Yes, thank you. So they might get that new stuff and maybe a new suit jacket or something, but they don't have to.
It's different.
It's very different. So, Yeah, Michael is waiting.
Chomping at the bit.
To see what I wear. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see maybe what catches my eye.
Sometimes you don't know until it's right in front of you.
Until you see it. What about you? Do you have a theme?
I found a few really awesome dresses online. I think I'm going to order them, try them on, and then, you know, send back the ones that don't work. I would love to wear blue. I think like...
Have you not done blue yet?
I haven't done... I did navy my first year, but like a blue like what I'm wearing right now.
That would be
like
pretty.
Lighter, I think,
yeah.
Could be cool. My mom says I should go magenta. She's like my stylist, you know?
She is your stylist. She has a good eye.
She has a vision as well. So, you know, we'll see. But a little tease. We are planning... We still need to figure out the details. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're in on this too. We're planning to do an episode of Hot Mic from Derby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which will be so fun.
We also have a crossover hour for anchoring.
So fun.
So if you're watching LEX18 on Derby Day, you can start your morning with Burke and Evie.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll switch over and it'll be me and Evie. And then we'll kick Evie out and it'll be me and Larry. So
I'll probably be ready at that point to go to the tent and get some
the catering
food. The NBC catering tent, which is always for people behind the scenes. NBC obviously is they broadcast the Derby, so there's so much going on behind the scenes at the Derby, which it never gets old, like going in the back entrance and seeing all the work that it takes just to pull that event off.
Crazy.
Is incredible.
I'm
excited for another year.
Me too. Hannah, have you covered Derby?
I have not.
But you're going this year, right?
I have no idea. Oh. We haven't announced that yet.
Oh.
We're waiting.
Should we put in a good word?
Maybe we should.
I think we should.
Well, you're going to have to be there if we do an episode of Hot Mic.
I have no idea. I hope I'm there, but we'll see.
I'm going to put Hannah in a rolling bag and roll her in.
We do have to go through security.
That is true. The other
it might be a little suspicious if they open the bag and there's
true.
A person
She's
inside.
The thing that is also interesting about the Derby is obviously Churchill Downs is a massive property, and we park the station parks off the property at a home. We have sort of a
this is like one of the craziest parts of Derby in my opinion.
And it's like Tetris. We have a long-standing agreement with a homeowner in the neighborhood where we park our cars.
This is a random person. He has nothing to do with Churchill Downs. He just lives nearby.
And a lot of people, I think, in that neighborhood make money during Derby by letting people park in their yards, that sort of thing. And so we have this agreement with him. And, I mean, Brian Gilbert, he's our executive reporter. Every year he figures out how the cars, which car parks where with which crew, because people are leaving, going at different times, coming at different times. And then we have to walk to Churchill Downs.
Yeah.
So you got to change into your fancy shoes when you get there.
Definitely. And when it's raining, that really just adds a layer of
boots.
First world. You know, we should have a segment on the podcast called First World Probs, where we complain about the things that really don't matter.
Because most of it doesn't matter.
Most of it does not.
No. Especially in TV. It's all kind of.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong, you have the next day.
Yeah.
Are you ready for Tails and Ales?
I am ready.
By the time people hear this episode, it will have happened already.
It will be over. But Tales and Ales is an annual fundraiser for the Lexington Humane Society. And the event has beer samples and puppies.
Yeah.
And like that,
what more could you want?
That's the selling point. It's a really fun event. Evie and I are co-emceeing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
You would have loved it this morning on Sunrise.
I saw
a cat named Gerber came. Hannah with LHS and the cat came to be live in studio. And the cat was so cute. She sat her down on the anchor desk and I think she was sleepy because it was the morning and she's a kitten. Yeah. But she immediately just laid down across the anchor desk.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
She's Angel.
Really cute.
My cat and I are really butting heads right now.
What's happening?
Well,
Chevy's crazy.
We're coexisting more than we normally do because he's been on house arrest. He hasn't been outside in 2 weeks.
Why?
Well, I think you were gone when this happened, but he went missing for a few days. Now, he's indoor-outdoor, mm-hmm. as I've discussed before. Yes. So it's not unusual for him to be out overnight or mm-hmm. even be out for like 24 hours at a time. He always comes home, though. But several weeks ago, I let him out. And the next day, he's nowhere to be found. The following day, he's nowhere to be found. I'm starting to get nervous.
Yes.
Like, did he get hit by a car? Did someone snatch him?
Uh-huh.
And he was not wearing a collar because he loses every collar I put on him.
Can you take him off?
Yeah, I swear. He probably walks out on his back legs and just reaches up and like undoes it. I don't know how he always gets them off, but... He was gone for a few days and I started to get really nervous.
Yeah.
Called the Humane Society, Animal Control, because he's turned up at Animal Control before. And they were like, yeah, we haven't seen him. They know who he is mm-hmm. at this point. And so I'm just in full on panic mode. What has happened to Chevy? And like 4 days later, I'm on the Ring app, you know, like if you have a Ring camera, and someone posts a photo of him in their kitchen. And says, is this anyone's cat? And I'm like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? So I reach out. It turns out the people live 3 houses down from me. And I'm like, this whole time.
Had he just gone in their house?
Well, no, here's the thing. So I go after work to pick him up. And he was so traumatized that he wasn't even meowing. And if you know Chevy, he is loud all the time. So this was unusual. And the couple, very, very sweet family, they said... The house next to theirs has been vacant for a couple months and they were in their backyard. It was on a really nice day. They were doing some stuff and they heard crying from the house. And so they went and looked in a window and there he was. He was inside this vacant house.
Was he stuck?
Yeah. He had trapped himself inside.
Oh, Chevy.
So we had to come to Jesus and I reordered his tracker.
Mm-hmm.
We're back on the tracker train, even though it's kind of expensive, but we got to figure something out.
You know that? Have you heard that song "Rain Me In"?
No.
It's an Olivia Dean and Sam Fender song. Ooh. It's a really good song, and basically, it's like, "Don't rain me in."
Yeah,
Chevy needs to be reined in,
big time.
That's what just made me think of.
Yeah, so we're really having a hard time because he's not used to being inside all the time. And so I get home from work and he is demanding dinner and then he's demanding to go outside. And I'm like, not happening.
When will that?
As soon as his tracker gets
then
here.
Then he can have some more freedom.
Yeah. He had a tracker about a year ago. But the thing with the tracker, you had to pay for a subscription and then you weren't really paying, you know, for the tracker itself. It was for the app and the tracking service. But again, he would lose the tracker and it would lose battery before I could find it. And they sent me a few replacements. And at one point, their customer service guy was like, listen, we've sent you 4 replacements. We can't send you anymore.
Oh.
So I'm trying again. It's a whole thing. And
you're a good cat mom.
You know, I don't always feel like that. But thank you for saying
you're
that.
Doing your best.
We're just out here trying our hardest.
Yeah, we all are.
What's new with Cannoli?
He's good. He's, just kind of doing his thing. You know, he had to be boarded when we went to Hilton Head and they're so nice to him, but he always acts like, you know, we're never coming back. So, which it is kind of sad when you drop off your pet to be boarded because you can't really communicate with them that you are returning.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's more a human. Like, I don't think they really, I don't know if he really has a sense of time, but, yeah, so he's good. He's really cute. I posted a picture on Facebook of, him and my husband, mm-hmm. because when Charlie comes home, it's like, I am chopped liver. I do everything for Cannoli.
It was a really cute photo.
He loves Charlie, but it's like, I feed him, mm-hmm. take him on most of his walks, spend the majority, I wouldn't say majority, but I get home during the day. So we're together a lot during the afternoon, and he doesn't appreciate me sometimes.
Yeah. We get no respect.
No.
We're doing the most.
Doing the most for our pets.
We're getting the least.
You know what I need to check right now?
Oh, yeah, I
forgot. If we have any questions.
You have a few.
We do? Really?
There's one comment that has, like, five questions. If you want me, I can read it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hear it. Make sure it's appropriate.
Yeah.
To clue in our listeners.
Oh, no.
Evie posted a video before we started recording asking viewers and listeners if they had any questions for us today. So, Hannah, what do we have?
Yeah.
So Sarah Catherine Hall asked a bunch of questions. The first one is, what are your favorite stories that you've covered?
Oh, that's such a good question.
That is good.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah.
Favorite stories.
I might have to say one that's not in Kentucky.
Okay. Go for it.
When I was in Montana, I did a story about triplet calves. That were all, they were survived, which is rare mm-hmm. for triplet calves to survive. And that really sticks with me because they were so cute.
That's really cute.
Yeah. That would have been a good,
field notes
story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is top of mind because we are in the midst of submitting stories for the Emmys. Mm-hmm. And I submitted this story I did with our chief photographer, Brian Stahl, about Fred Mills.
Oh yeah.
The man who runs the Kentucky Theater and has worked there since he was a teenager, and he's now in his 70s or 80s.
That's incredible.
It was a really cool story because, and we have to get him on the podcast. He talked about the history of the Kentucky Theater and what Lexington was like in those days. And he's just like the cutest mm-hmm. man. And he's always working at the theater. If you go see a movie, he's usually serving the popcorn. That was a really special story.
That's a fun one.
Fred Mills. And you know what he said that sticks with me? At the end of the interview, he said, I've always felt like I have the best job in Lexington.
Oh,
how sweet is that?
We got to get him on the pod.
We do. That was a good question. What's next?
If you could travel anywhere, where would you go and why?
Oh, that's a really good question. I have all sorts of, my list is kind of never ending. My husband and I are going to Italy next month, and that's kind of been on our bucket list. So that might be, I'm excited to go there.
That's cool. I would love to do like a Greece,
yes,
Italy trip. I think like for a honeymoon, not that I'm getting married that I know of. That would be really cool. A Greece, you know?
Yeah,
something
I've never been.
Future. Yeah, that's a good question.
What Kentucky festival is the funnest, most yummy, and most fun?
Funniest, most fun, and yummy.
Yummy.
Well, the Beer Cheese Festival is the yummiest,
I
think.
Oh, I do. That's like the Beer Cheese Festival in Winchester. Clark County. Yeah.
It's a good one.
We've covered a lot of festivals for Spotlight shows. I think, you know, the one that is the funniest to me is Court Days. Because people are walking around with guns.
I've not been to Court Days.
Yeah, it's a trip. It's really interesting.
Where is that?
Oh, wait, Hannah, you're from
I'm from
Mount Sterling.
There,
Saying, is that Mount Sterling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about Court Days.
You didn't even see the most hick version. That's Preston. It gets worse in Preston. They trade animals.
Oh!
And like rabbits and puppies and all kinds of things.
Is that legal?
They do it. I don't know.
We've not done a spotlight from that, I don't think.
Yeah. So Court Days is pretty interesting. The Beer Cheese Festival is yummy. Also, the World Chicken Festival.
That's a fun one.
And then the spoon, what is it? Spoon pudding? Spoon bread? Spoon
in
bread.
In Berea.
I like that every community has its thing.
And they all, majority are related to food, which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very fun. That's a good one.
Okay.
Okay.
What else we got?
Oh, well, Michael Walker said, with both of you from Indiana, what is the one thing you love about Kentucky?
Oh, this is easy. It's the scenery. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get this in Indiana. And everybody said that before I moved here. The horse farms, the rolling hills, mm-hmm. and in spring especially, the green is so vibrant. And if you go out, you know, into the country and just drive around, it's like, wow, this is Kentucky.
Yeah. What about you? It's so different from Indiana in that way, yes. even though they're neighboring states. It's mm-hmm. really interesting.
Yeah.
Love the scenery. I mean, it's so cliche and maybe people think this is just like an easy answer. I just love the people. I think the people mm-hmm. are the nicest.
Yeah.
Which so are Hoosiers, but Kentuckians are a little different, I think. It's a little more
Southern hospitality added in.
And I love the accents here. Like, I love the Eastern Kentucky accents. Those mm-hmm. are fun. And my husband he's from Tennessee, so he also has an accent. Mm-hmm. And it was funny when we moved here, I said, do you notice people's accents? And he said, not really. And I said, I guess it's because you also sort of have like a Southern twang.
He's one of them.
Yeah. If you have an accent, you might not notice it. But yeah, I love all of that. And the history of the Appalachian region, mm-hmm. I think is okay. We could go on all day, but I do love Kentucky.
Yeah. All right. Any more questions?
There is one on your post, Megan. Oh. It says, whose idea was the podcast?
Oh.
Not mine.
Well, but Megan was very, kind.
I think we can explain the origin, though.
Totally. So I had always wanted to do a podcast because I love the sound of my own voice. I'm just kidding. But I did.
Kind of.
I listened to podcasts and, thought it would be fun to do one. And some TV stations have them, right? Yep. I think we're not by any means groundbreaking here. But I one day was at lunch. It was like multiple people from the station were at a lunch.
It was on my birthday. I remember.
Oh, yeah. It was on your birthday. And our general manager, Sean Franklin, who has been on the podcast, one of our first guests, it literally was a joke. I didn't really think much would come of it. And I said, Sean, can we have a podcast? And he just has the best attitude about stuff mm-hmm. because he said, why not? And within a week, I kid you not, this studio was.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
It was up and running. It was incredible.
They like ordered all the stuff. They got Hannah on board.
Yeah.
They got like the cool logo.
We have our very
creative
own
team
light.
Was on it.
Yeah. So that it was just kind of like a offhand comment that.
Yeah. But an interesting tidbit, I was not originally cast in this role. Let that be known. It was going to be Evie and Lauren Miner.
And that was because she had done a podcast
yeah.
at her former station in Cincinnati.
Yeah. And she also is really good at talking. And I was just enjoying sitting there listening to you guys plan. And then her circumstances changed mm-hmm. and she ended up going back to Cincinnati. Yep. You know, she was commuting every day and she has four kids,
yeah.
So she got that new job right as you guys yeah. were going
to
start
launching
recording, yeah.
And it was interesting because initially I had said to Megan, like, do you want to be on the podcast? Like, do you want to be involved? And she said, no, I don't think so. I don't think I would be very good at that.
It's so hard to talk. Yeah. I just get so nervous.
But you're so good. You're like, you are hot,
well,
Mike. So.
Thank you. It would have been fun with Lauren, too.
Totally.
But yeah, that's the origin story.
Yeah, that's how it came to be.
It's just been one heck of a time. I have some questions for you, Evie.
Oh! What are they?
Let me pull them up. I did not take the time to write them down on our fancy hot mic
paper.
That's
okay.
So,
Michael
sorry.
Burke probably wrote on them or something
yeah,
anyways.
Probably. He's really on my last nerve. Okay, these are just some random questions. The weirdest thing that has happened right before going live.
Oh gosh. All of them are kind of scary. Like when I was in Montana, I used to mm-hmm. do my live shots by myself and overnight. So starting at 5 a.m. yeah. by myself in Great Falls, Montana. And there was one time not to like freak people out, but I heard a woman screaming and I didn't know where it was coming from.
Gosh.
And I had to call my producer and say, I can't go live because I have to literally call 911 and like explain what's happening. But I was freaked out and I ended up moving locations and I never figured out. I called the police and
yeah.
I don't know what happened, but yeah, that's why I don't recommend live shots by yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's scary.
Wow.
But okay. Other than that, do you have something? I don't have anything like funny.
I had a guy come up to me right before I went live a few years ago in Lexington. I think he was an unhoused individual, and he came up and just hugged me and tried to kiss me.
Oh,
I was working with Thomas Holsapple, and I think Holsapple was a little stunned too because he just froze. So that was uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it was a little bit stranger danger vibes. And then
a hug is nice sometimes, but a kiss is a little too far.
Came from a good place, but it was just like, whoa, really, really threw me off, and I had to go live a second later. But that's okay. Maybe he was just a viewer. The hardest part of anchoring that people don't realize.
Oh, that's a good question. Because truly, I don't want to downplay the role of journalists and but anchoring to me is like the fun, easy part of our jobs.
Of the day. Yeah.
Maybe like operating the telephone.
I was going to say the same thing.
Because now we've gone through multiple iterations of teleprompting here. We don't have someone who runs it anymore. Our producers can run it manually, but they have a ton of other stuff to do. Now you might have noticed on air.
It looks like a Wii controller.
And you do it yourself. I'm used to it, but it's just another thing to think about. And so, you don't want to mess it up for someone else or.
Totally. I was going to say the same thing. It's to me like doing that thing where you're like rubbing your belly and patting your head. You have to pace the teleprompter thing correctly. And sometimes it gets stuck or it like glitches. And then you have to be talking and thinking about what you're saying and pronouncing words correctly, which I'm not very good at.
That might be another thing is making sure you're pronouncing things correctly because,
not my strong suit.
It's hard. And you know, sometimes we're covering international news that where these words are places, names that I've never had to say before. And so you'll Google them.
I've told you about my Belarus flub on air.
Would you say Belarus?
Yeah. Like four times in one script.
This will make you feel better. One of my favorite mispronunciations. It wasn't mine. So I don't want to throw this person under the bus.
Oh, but throw him under the bus.
It's so funny. It still sticks with me. It was he was talking about the Episcopalian church. And this was not local. This was in another market across the country. Episcopalian. And he said Episcopalopian. Which really has just stuck with me. So
that's good. I will throw this person under the bus. This just happened, Larry, last week, and we are still laughing about it. He was reading a story about recidivism rates, and he meant to say reincarcerated, but he said reincarnated.
That changes the meaning.
Totally changes the meaning. So we were holding back laughter during that. And that's another hard part of anchoring.
Yes.
Like, we read some stories here in Kentucky. We love Kentucky, so we can say this. But y'all got some weird stuff going on.
Totally.
From time to time. And not laughing during those stories. Mm-hmm. Like, when I hear that the mayor of a town got a DUI on a tractor on Main Street, I can't not giggle at that.
Very often.
That's just one example of many.
You know what that makes me think of? Not that story in particular, but like saying things on air. Do you remember that blooper? It didn't happen here, but it's one of the viral bloopers that always show up online where the anchor, he's supposed to be saying, check your pantries, but instead he says, check your panties.
I know.
And he says it so confidently.
Yeah.
I love, that's one of my favorites.
I can't watch anchor bloopers because they stress me out.
Do they?
Because I would say something. I would do something dumb like that.
It's there, but for the grace of God, go I. You know, like that could happen to any of us. I actually find them kind of soothing, though.
Oh, really?
There's something that I will watch before bed. And I'll watch them. I'll watch the same ones over and over again. I don't care.
They are silly. They are silly. Okay, moving on. Next question. Ooh. Things viewers think happen in newsrooms that just don't.
Ooh.
Hannah, you can weigh in on this one. Is there anything that we think, viewers think, happens in the newsroom that just doesn't?
That's a hard one.
I think, the way we do news nowadays is a lot different. Like, when I came in, because I've only been here for, a year and some months now. Mm-hmm. When I came in, I expected, full production, camera ops, floor directors and all that. And I learned that we're automated. I'm like, wow.
It's a lot smaller of a staff than people might think. I also think, and I don't want to get into, you know, a big discussion about politics and news and media coverage, but I do think that some of the issues with national media, mm-hmm. people assume, or perceived issues with national media, right? I think people assume the same about local news stations, you know, mm-hmm. that we're biased or fake news,
yeah.
or that there's some big conspiracy theory surrounding mm-hmm. news. And that's, I can't speak for national media because I haven't worked sure. there, but it's just simply not the case.
As we often say, we don't get paid enough to
no.
have a conspiracy theory.
No, there. It's just everyone here lives locally,
yeah.
wants communities to thrive, and is doing their best to, you know, share non-biased journalism.
And everyone in this building, I would say, has very different viewpoints mm-hmm. and falls on different parts yep. of the political spectrum, which you learn, you know, outside of news mm-hmm. as you get to know these people. But
and there are multiple yeah. layers of approval and people weighing right. in on stories. So it's never just one person sharing their opinion or what they think. That's just not the case. So I think maybe that mm-hmm. is a little bit of a misconception
yeah.
about newsrooms.
Yeah. Local newsrooms. For sure.
And, you know, you can critique a lot about media.
Yeah.
But that, I think, sometimes is an unfounded
totally
belief.
Hey, give us a little grace. We're your neighbors, you know?
Totally.
I think I just recently watched The Morning Show.
Yeah.
With Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. Really, really good. Mm-hmm. But they do, and this is always the case, man, I gotta like it's that spring
take a sip.
Junk in the air. My gosh, Lucy Brown.
She needs to be help healed.
Wow.
Are you feeling better?
Sorry if that was like ASMR in the mic, if you could hear me slurping my
some
iced
people
coffee.
Are into that.
But on The Morning Show, they do this thing that's so unrealistic that I think is very funny. The anchors are always like in a huge argument right before they go on set. And then literally they're counting down like uh-huh. 5, 4, and they're like just then putting their mic on and their earpiece.
Yeah, no.
And then they sit down right as the show starts. I'm like, that would never happen.
No, no. We have to be in our seats like 10 minutes.
Right. Preferably.
Yeah. Before
I'm sure,
the show.
Hannah, you would
I get very afraid when I don't see the anchors. Uh-huh. I'm like,
Some people push it.
You know who's the worst offender? Drew Ammon.
Drew
is so, Drew does the 4 and 5:30, and for the 4 o'clock, it will be, I've seen it, 3:58.
Oh.
And he is just then putting his jacket on with no sense of urgency whatsoever.
He's cool as a cucumber though.
Too cool.
Yeah.
I think.
That's Drew.
Everyone around him is like, Drew,
where are you?
You have to be out there.
That is so funny.
Yeah. All right. Misconceptions.
Yeah,
there we go.
Totally. It's interesting.
It is. I have a couple more questions and we've just hit been talking
we
for
could
a
literally do this all day.
These will be quick. Okay. This is rapid fire hot mic. Best fast food French fries.
McDonald's. I had to think about that. Probably that's like my all time, but I like Chick-fil-A too.
Okay. I have to what say, do you say Rallies.
No, Rallies is so good. Good. Rallies is so good.
Worst household chore.
Ugh. Probably like cleaning a toilet or the baseboards, because why would we have to clean the baseboards?
Totally. I like cleaning out the fridge, maybe. I think that grosses me out.
That's a tough one.
A TV show everyone loves, but you hate.
Friends. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Same.
Really?
Yeah. And I feel bad saying that because we're outnumbered for sure. Hannah, are you a Friends stan?
A little bit, yeah.
That's okay.
I see the appeal, but.
Me too.
I just never caught on to
it. It's not for me. No.
I'm more of like in the Seinfeld camp.
Me too. And you know, I like Jennifer Aniston and like the actors and actresses from Friends. Yeah, it's just never.
Those aren't my people.
For me. Yeah, no. Interesting. But Hannah.
Hey, respect, Hannah. A song you never skip.
Ooh. Can I look at my phone?
You can look at your phone.
You tell me yours. What's yours?
A song I never skip. Chiquitita. By ABBA.
Oh, Chiquitita, I feel when I'm...
You started at a really high pitch. Where do you go from there when you start so high?
There are some harmonies in that song that I think that's what I was kind of doing.
Yeah, I love that song and I don't think about it a lot. So when it does come on, I'm like, oh, turn it up.
Really anything ABBA, I think, is kind of a do not skip. Okay, I'm going to go to my top 25 most played to see. Okay, these aren't even ones really, though, that I... This is, like, kind of embarrassing. I don't want to say any of these, so...
You have to say them.
Honestly, like, anything Beyonce or Destiny's Child.
Say My Name?
Yes, that would be, like, a non-skip for me. Any mm-hmm. Beyonce, Destiny's Child.
Okay.
I love that.
Last question. Most overrated holiday?
Ooh, New Year's.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, what's yours?
What are holidays? I'm going through my mind, trying to think. Maybe like a Labor Day.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, we work.
Totally.
So I don't
We're
feel that we
on Labor Day.
Reap the benefits of that one.
I can see that one. Yeah. For me, it's New Year's. I just don't. The vibes are not.
Yeah, at this point, right? You're not, like, going out to the club or going to a party.
The last time I went to the club... On New Year's, my sister's birthday is also December 31st.
Oh, so that's
a few years ago, she did like bottle service at a club. Yeah, it was like fancy. It was in Indianapolis and she had a big group of friends that went. Charlie and I were probably some of the oldest people in this group. All of the younger people had a lot of fun and it was fun, but I'm just not I can't club anymore. I can't do it. It's just not.
Is someone making you club?
No, no one's making me club. And I haven't clubbed in a long, long, long time. Yeah. But that might have been the last time. But literally, even at New Year's, like, Charlie had gone to the bar to, like, get a drink. Mm-hmm. And then the midnight hit, and I was standing alone. I was like, where's my husband?
Like that song?
the Ray song, Where's My Husband? So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just not really, like, one for the clubs anymore.
Yeah.
And I like to, like, have fun.
Don't get it twisted.
No, I like to have fun. But that was a good one. Good questions.
Thank you. Well, I can't take credit. That was ChatGPT.
That's okay.
I sometimes feel like we should be resisting ChatGPT, but then I find myself relying on it.
There are some helpful uses for it.
Totally.
For sure.
Hannah, anything to add over there? Any thoughts, comments, concerns?
I'm just chilling over here. This is such a fun episode.
Yeah.
It has been fun. Let me see if we have any more questions before we go. And then...
And as you do that, we have to plug our new Instagram page.
Yes.
We are with the times. Mm-hmm. We have launched a Hot Mic Instagram. And that is where we will, once we get our act together, where we will be posting some fun behind the scenes content and little snippets from episodes. And...
Yeah.
That's my pitch.
I love it.
Maybe even some sneak peeks.
Some sneak peeks.
That's always helpful.
So search Hot Mic on Instagram and give us a like.
I think our username is Hot Mic by LEX18.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
We're good on my questions.
Okay. Hey, thank you for people that, you know, put questions in. It was kind of a last minute thing, but we do appreciate the engagement.
Yeah, we do.
This was a good, I needed this. This felt like a reset.
Mm-hmm.
And
some girl time.
I'm really excited for our episode next week. And I think we can plug it because I don't see her canceling.
No, she has to be here.
Yeah, she works with us. We're not going to give it away. She's not on air, but she is our in-house pop culture expert.
And it's award season.
She's going to be recapping the Oscars and some of the other award ceremonies. And she has some really funny impressions that she's going to do. So
She was going to do the impressions?
I told her she has to do the impressions.
Okay.
Jennifer Coolidge in particular, it will make me wet my pants. It's so funny.
Okay. I am excited for that.
It's going to be a good episode.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of good stuff coming down. Coming down the pike? Is that the
pipeline? I think.
Pipeline. Okay.
Alrighty. I think that's enough for us.
Let's wrap it up.
You guys have probably had enough of our voices. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for listening and watching this week's episode of Hot Mic. Anything to add?
No, just have a great week.
Yeah. Enjoy the sunshine and we'll see you next time on Hot Mic.